We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This offseason, I'm going to attack it like I've never attacked it before, and I'm going to try to push myself to limits that I've never even come close to. That's my mentality going into this summer. I'm going to take the next couple weeks to decompress, think about the season, but after that, it's business as usual, it's training, and this is one of the reasons why we're paid.
Sabres winger Alex Tuch, as the Sabres cleaned out the lockers, faced the media, and kind of faced the music on what was a disappointing season this past year. Welcome back. Hour number three of Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Evan's on the board with you here. And we've got you for one more hour, or you've got us for one more hour, whichever way you want to look at it. It's a coexisting relationship, so to say.
Depends on your look of the glass half full or glass half empty, you know.
And as always, though, we try to make sure we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Mark in Kenmore. Mark, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got for us?
Yeah, hello. I've been a Buffalo Sabres fan and season ticket holder. I've been following this team since the 70s, too. I think that Buffalo is closer to being a really good team than they are at the bottom of a barrel. But I definitely believe that Granato just could not take them anywhere, and the change was necessary. It had to be made. A big thing I believe that Adams, if I could ask him one question, and that really is, I get the sense that Pegula and the ownership is not handicapping him at all. It's the league. Does the Buffalo Sabres, are they the Pittsburgh Pirates of the NHL where trades are very hard to make for them? Buffalo has a tough time making trades. It can go very, very long without making anything that substantial. Now, maybe we'll see what the Byram trade does. And free agency overall, July 1st, I'm talking about, has generally been a disaster. Clifton might be decent, but you got to go back to Darcy Regier when Buffalo last had any good free agents. I wonder where they are when it comes to recruiting, because I think that has been a problem. And if there's a player that Adams likes in the offseason that he wants to trade for, if he has to go on a plane with Pegula and go to that player's house, let's say that player has him on the no trade, you know, on Buffalo on the no trade list of his, convince him. Find a way and convince him. And as far as a quick thought on the Bills, and I'll let you go here, guys, I'm not surprised that Pegula is probably looking for more money, because I think the stadium overrun, the new stadium, is probably the reason behind it. I don't know how much the PSL and the concern about how high they may be is playing a role in that, but I definitely think the overruns could be a problem. It's going to be over $2 billion by the time it's built.
Yeah. Yeah, the overruns, I know, have been a pretty consistent thing that's been reported. So, yeah, to finish off on your last point, definitely it's an interesting play to me, because the NFL prints money. They in 2022, they got $18 billion. The NFL made $18 billion in revenue. I went and looked. So if you're splitting that up between 32 teams, I imagine the Bills are getting like just less than $1 billion there
in
revenue sharing. So to me, selling a 25% stake to, I don't know, recoup some funds so that you can put them into your stadium overrun, like,
it's to make it liquid.
Yeah, it is to make it liquid. I understand what's going on, but that's, it kind of tells you where they're at liquidity wise and what's going on from there and what kind of moves they feel that they need to make, and that's even on the table, especially since a year ago Pegula had flatly stated that they were not looking for any sort of minority ownership in any of their organizations.
Yep.
Moving on to the rest of the things that Mark said, I agree. Change had to be made from Granato. They had very clearly reached a ceiling of what his messaging was. That's what Rachel Hotmire said.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree that they're much closer to being on the verge of being a good team than the bottom of the barrel. What I don't agree with is that the shackling of the Sabres is not a league problem. It is a Sabres problem.
It is a Sabres problem because you get added to no trade lists because you are in the longest playoff drought in NHL history.
You get added because, you know, of that, various different factors. I imagine, you know, guys like Ralph Kruger, guys like, I mean, Grady was able to get Taylor Hall due to a previous connection. Look how that worked out. The Sabres have missed out on deals that would help them, though. Any deal that goes through that involves salary retention, stuff that could have helped what they're getting in terms of trades. I don't want to say that Eric Johnson could have gotten more if you retained half his salary, because he's Eric Johnson at this stage of
his
career.
The fact that they got a fourth was already a coup.
So I'll give him that, right. But
considering
the Sabres,
Philly fell out of the
Sabres
playoffs
over the last 3 years since COVID have been one of the lowest payrolls in the league, and they've done nothing to weaponize that, which tells me that either the GM doesn't know how or the owners tell them we can't do that.
Right.
And I don't know. To me, at this point, enough people have complained about it to where it has gotten to Kevin Adams. We live in this age now, right, where it's easier than ever to get fan criticism. You have a pretty much direct pathway on that, right? So I don't want to say that's influencing anything with Kevin Adams, but also at the same time, you're hearing things, you're hearing the things that people want. It's hard not to hear noise in that position, I imagine. So, I don't know. But I do not think that that's a league problem, and if they are becoming the Pittsburgh Pirates, that is an ownership issue. That's not a league issue. The Pittsburgh Pirates ownership is doing that, just so we're clear.
It's a self-caused problem.
They are raking in money from the MLB's cash program that they barely have a payroll for. The only other team that has a lower payroll is the Oakland Futures, Sacramento Future Las Vegas Athletics.
The Las Vegas Bees.
Whatever.
Because they won't be the A's.
Of course. But get out of here with that. That's a league problem. Sorry, I mean, that's harsh, Mark, but that's just not a league problem.
I do get what he was saying about like how often players will probably add Buffalo to a no-trade list, but it's because of Buffalo's pattern over the last 13 years that players will add that team to the list. So it's not necessarily a league issue. It is a players don't want to come here because of the Sabres and how they have been run as of late.
And Buffalo, they've had a lot of success stories, but they've also had plenty of stories where they do get a guy and he just is not a fit for what they wanted him to do.
Right.
I think a lot about how they signed Cody Eakin for a couple of years thinking he'd be this defensive stalwart, not realizing, oh, the only form of defense he knows how to play is winning a faceoff.
Yep. Which they're oddly bad at.
Which I was going to say, now they can't do that to save their lives.
Yeah.
So it's like,
damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's, you know how I feel about faceoffs. They're not important unless they are, unless that specific one you get a goal on or whatever.
Yep. But it's tough. It's tricky. All right, TJ, I'm about to apologize to you.
Yeah, you told me this was going to happen.
Yes, and the reason for that is I'm going to poison your brain, just how I've poisoned Evan's brain, and just how I've poisoned other people's brains.
Try me.
With the dumbest thing that I've done in a long time, and that was...
That's saying a lot.
I made a parody song. Evan, it's Mock Draft Simulator. We're bringing the big energy.
Mock Draft Simulator, ready to log on and do a mock draft, ready to go and pick up receivers, ready to go and trade up some picks, ready to call my dad, ready to call
His face right now, people.
Gonna fire up that mock draft. Oh, whoops, accidentally closed out the window. Crush the pick, crush the pick. Here come trade offers, crush them too. The Chiefs are a problem for me. They have won too many times. Mock draft simulator, mock draft simulator. The Chiefs beat us too many times. Mock draft simulator, mock draft simulator, mock draft simulator.
TJ's bopping.
Learned how to do a mock draft on my lunch break from work.
And now we keep the music because we're going into a mock draft simulator, baby. So
what's the website for this?
For the mock draft or
for
okay,
for the mock
so
draft.
This is PFF that we're using here. But we are going to go ahead and do a mock draft right now. You're with me. I'm in central control on this thing. TJ, are we trading up?
That feels sexy. Let's do it.
All right, we're going to trade up. Where do you want to go? I'm thinking like Tennessee, Atlanta, 7-8.
Okay, let's do it.
So here's what we're going to do. We'll try to go with the Titans here. We're going to obviously offer up pick 28. And I'd imagine it's going to cost the future one. And I think I'm going to try... Let's do... a third rounder next year. It's got a 93% chance to be accepted. So we're going to do this. I've sent the trade offer in, and there we go. We're at 7.
Wow, they accepted?
They accepted. It took round 1 and round 3, which I don't think is realistic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit higher.
Well, I mean, it's 2 firsts and a third for a first, so that's the other way to look at it.
The value chart is all weird this year because there's so many... I feel like there's a lot of players. There's a lot of star power at the top of this
draft.
But
for a team like the Titans, pick 28 is a great place to trade down and get more picks because they don't have a lot in the middle of the draft.
Yeah.
So
I'm with that.
It's almost a good match here with the Bills and the Titans. So we're going to start our draft. Obviously, Williams, Daniels, McCarthy. Oh, man. That almost went poorly. It went Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, Neighbors, Harrison, and then the Giants took Drake May so that we could end up with... one of the big three receivers. But we almost went 0-for at pick 7. That was kind of scary.
No.
So, Rome Odunze would be the pick there, obviously.
Cool.
So, we'll do that. We'll fire it up, and we'll hit a pick 60 here and see what we've got from there. But, TJ, you've got yourself one run up there as well. And what would you say about possibly staying there? Because I know if you don't have a paid... subscription, you can't do any trades.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
you.
So
you'd be
clearing
running
that with me.
So you'll be running the if the Bills stay.
Okay, I got you. All right. So let's start the draft. Teams picking. All our receivers are off the board, obviously.
Mock draft simulator.
All right. So we got a couple of we got Jerzon Newton as our top pick available. He's a defensive interior lineman. Got a couple cornerbacks, Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry.
All-time name, by the way.
I wish he was ranked lower, so I would accept drafting a cornerback based on that. But anyway.
How's our receiver pool looking there?
Troy Franklin would be the first receiver off the board here.
So he's the top receiver available. It'd be Troy Franklin there at pick 28.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that...
Ladd McConkey's right behind him.
Yeah, and if Franklin McConkey, they seem to be relatively in the same space there. But it does look like the well kind of dried up pretty quickly there for you when it comes to receivers there.
Yeah,
I'd imagine if Xavier Leggett is one of your options, that would probably be there at pick 28 as well.
Yeah, so we've got Newton, we got Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Troy Franklin, and then Peyton Wilson rounds out the 5 here, and then Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota, is there as well. Mm-hmm. Who we picking? We want to go Franklin?
Yeah, I'd say we go Franklin there.
Yeah, I think that's good value for where the Bills are at. PFF has them ranked 29th. I don't know how their ranking system looks. This is the first time I'm doing this. So,
yeah. So getting to pick 60 here in the trade up version, we got ourselves an opportunity to get a defensive tackle in Chris Jenkins. That would be a fantastic addition, I think. When it comes to the second round receivers, man, a lot of that well dried up very fast. Javon Baker, Devontae Walker. But outside of that, not a lot of names that I'm really excited about. And Baker could be even like a fringe third round guy anyway.
Okay.
So I'm not worrying about a receiver there in the second round. Though I do love the idea of having Chris Jenkins available as the second round selection there, helping out the defensive line. And I am going to make that pick.
Excellent.
So there we go. And there is...
I ran out of free whatever on mine, so it's all you at this point.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. But I just more or less wanted to go into the two different perspectives of what are we looking at simulation-wise with pick 28 versus what happens when you trade up and have an opportunity there. But the Bills, it sounds like you have to get to 7 because I almost lost out on everything.
I wish I would have scrolled up and seen where guys like Brian Thomas Jr. and Adonai Mitchell were going, Xavier Leggett. But I already clicked off the page.
I can help you with that, luckily. That's something I'm glad to do for you here.
Thanks.
Brian Thomas Jr. typically is being projected within, like, the teens. In mine here, he went 15th to the Colts. But the receiver run starts hitting up again, more or less. Oddly enough, the funny thing is that if you like A.D. Mitchell, had I not traded up, guess who took him at pick 28? Tennessee did.
Wow.
Xavier Worthy goes at 24, though. And then you get the run at the start of the second round. Ladd McConkie, Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, all going before pick 40. Keon Coleman at 46, Jalen Polk at 51, Ricky Pearsall there at 57. So the Bills at 60, it's kind of tough if you don't end up taking one. But at the same time, there are players in that range, like a Javon Baker, who would be, you know, like I said, late second, early third kind of guy.
Yeah.
Someone that I would be okay with getting there. Roman Wilson, same type of player there. But again, it is such a deep class, but at the same time, by the time the Bills pick at 60, a lot of these players will be gone.
So I just did kind of an auto-draft situation for a second window I had open.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. is picked at the 7th spot here with Malik Nabers being the first receiver off the board.
Yep.
There's a lot that I feel like there's a lot of different directions this top 10 can go, especially if the Bills are able to trade up to that 7 or 8 spot. I think you're right. If they don't get 7, they could probably go 10 at the very latest to maybe grab one of the big 3. But I think that's about as high as I'd be willing to go in terms of... No, I'd be willing to go to 7, but I don't think I'd be willing to trade up much more than 10 for that if other guys are going to be available.
Well, there you go, guys. That's Mock Draft Simulator, and TJ was just... His face, I was loving every moment of that, by the way. That was just a grand old time.
How has nobody showed me that yet? Why didn't you text me when you recorded it?
Because it's not finished yet.
Oh.
That is why.
Okay.
We play the abridged version here.
Oh.
For the sake of time.
Fair.
Obviously. But we can shift back over to the Sabres. Chris Ostrander from Two in the Box, the Instigator Podcast. He will be joining us next here as we get more on the Sabres, their head coaching search, and what happens from here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Evans on the board. We're here for another 30 minutes. You're listening to WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From our standpoint, it's not a major league facility. And
it's not.
We had enough time in a college rink, as nice as a college rink as it is. The question that you're really asking is, was he losing a lot of money? You betcha. He was losing a ton.
What a press conference that was. Alex Morello and Gary Bettman.
What is even that quote?
Yeah, like it just...
What did he just say?
Said, yeah, they were losing money. Like, I don't know. Like, nothing about it made sense. And it almost...
Sounded like you were. They were trying to say, feel bad for this man.
I gave nothing of value from him saying anything about this at all.
No. It was one of the weirdest things. And, like, there was visual tension, as Rachel Hoppmeyer pointed it out when we talked with her last hour as well. Like, it just, like... it was such a cringeworthy presser that...
Bewildering, I believe, is the word she used.
Yeah, but like I just... You can't envision that the NHL is going to move forward with him as the actual owner of an expansion franchise.
I got to think that what you said before, that the only reason that he's even in the conversation is because of that five-year clause that I'm pretty sure legally they just had to give him that chance. They're a little bit past a Jim Balsillie situation in which the guy already owned the team. So your hands are a little bit tied there, other than saying, hey, man, your team plays in a college arena and does not make nearly enough money for this to be feasible. Do you want us to interview about it?
There was just a lot to that. And now you understand why Terry Pegula does avoid the microphones. It's just, oh, boy. It was bad. It was bad. And I'm not sure how to better transition from this. Like, I don't know.
Other than to bring Chris Ossander on?
Yeah, I just ask Chris, did it sound to you, more or less, from Morello and Bettman, if you caught any of that yesterday?
I did. Honestly, I have to say it was refreshing to hear Gary Bettman be so transparent in a press conference.
Yeah.
Specifically regarding the Arizona Coyotes, but it's just in general. I mean,
it only took him 20 years.
You have to give him vials of truth serum to get him to be that transparent, usually.
Yeah, usually. Or just an incredibly frustrating owner that got his team shipped off. So
yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, you have to do that string much of, to get Gary Bettman angry.
Yeah. A string of bad ownership situations there that just I said this before, but I think it just ended up being one of those, if you're going to save the Coyotes, you have to get out of there for now and maybe give them an opportunity to come back, which is kind of exactly what's happening. So, yeah.
So, Chris Ostrander, Two in the Box, the Instigator Podcast, joining us here on the Westher Hotline. Chris, obviously there was that disaster, tire fire of a presser, but also Sabres are in the midst of a coaching search once again here for a team that disappointed at the end of the year. Even though, for as inconsistent as they were never truly dead until the final weeks of the season.
Yeah, it was interesting how it all played out, because it felt, you know, certainly in like December and January, definitely before January 1st, that it was just, you know, this was just a dogged season that was going to be really tough to get through. And then somehow, you know, Jukka Pekka Luukkonen got hot for him and they managed to stay in the hunt. It would have been very funny, in my opinion, if they had found their way to be 1 point out of the playoffs yet again, despite how bad the season felt at times. And funny, you know, in a very morose way, of course, but, you know, they credit to them for getting themselves back in the hunt. It's a shame that they were sunk by almost the exact opposite thing that they got them in the hunt last year. You know, their power play was great. They scored a million goals, and then you've completely flipped the script on a team that couldn't get goaltending last year, and then you get a goalie who just levitates, and then the power play was just completely toothless. So it kind of amazing the way that the juxtaposition of the two seasons.
I don't think there's any other word you can use to describe what happened with that. Just the ascendance of a guy that I want to say that I don't think any of us really thought had it at the NHL level, at really a lot of levels. And he kind of just figured it all out this year. And I thought, you're the goalie guy, so I want you to speak on this. But I do think in general he was a lot better positionally this year than he has been in previous years. And I'm wondering how much the goalie coach has helped with that.
It has to have been something that Mike Bales was doing with them, you know, in their time, you know, practice time. And he, you know, UPL had such a strange development track. He had that phenomenal season with Sudbury, yeah, and then kind of up and down between the coast, Rochester, Buffalo. He's called on a couple of times, you know, those end of season runs where he got hurt both times. But yeah, you know, I think the way that he was playing in the crease, certainly his movement, there were times in years past where you would watch him and he would be very aggressive in coming over from post to post. He would often almost, for lack of a better term, look off balance, where his upper body is falling forward and he's kind of reaching and stretching. And when you watch him this year, he was far more in control of his movements. his upper body, you know, as he's coming across the ice, his upper body's tall. He's such a big guy, you know, that it's such an asset for him. And those two things for me were the two things that stood out to me the most. He still, as a lot of Finnish goalies do, kind of plays a more compact style, a more compact stance. And the best way I could like compare that to is like, if you think of Ben Bishop, who was also gigantic, he often looked a lot longer or like wider in that. And if you watch UPL, he, you know, his elbows look tighter and he just looks like a little bit more, you know, scrunched in for a guy who's 6'5" or 6'4". I forget the exact height, but.
Chris Ostrander on the Western Hotline here. Sabres, they need themselves a new coach. And again, 13 years now without the playoffs. But let's go into that, though. The coaching search, Kevin Adams saying that he's looking more for someone with a bit of coaching experience in the NHL level, which would mean at this point looking at a retread. My pie in the sky is Rob Brind'Amour, but it sounds like they want to move a little bit faster than that when it comes to available options here. Chris, what are your top coaching candidates for this team when it comes to what they're looking for and who they'd likely would be aiming for?
Well, Brind'Amour fits him perfectly, right? Like, he's found that real delicate balance in Carolina of putting his star players in positions to succeed and produce. He's gotten young players going really quickly. I mean, Seth Jarvis is a phenomenal player, and he's very young, and he's been put right up into a top six, a scoring role, and he's thriving. So Brind'Amour really does strike that balance of accountability and system, I guess you'd say, in terms of how Carolina executes and how he uses his personnel. But yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of things at play there that strike me that it would keep him from being in the running, the least of which being the playoff run they're about to go on. It sounds like he might even have a contract extension. It's a shame, honestly, because again, yeah, he'd be perfect, but the retreads are so tough because you can find warts on all these guys. I mean, Lindy Ruff was sunk by goaltending, but he also really only had that one great season with New Jersey. Jay Woodcroft probably doesn't have the experience that Adams was looking for, but he's managed star players really well. So for me, like, I think Craig Berube is kind of interesting. I know Chad from Expected Buffalo had a really nice article kind of detailing some of his finer points. I do think Lindy Ruff is an interesting idea. The nostalgia factor obviously is at play there, but I do think some of the way that he's managed Jersey the last couple of years does make him a really fascinating candidate for the type of team the Sabres have. And I do kind of like, I am kind of warming to the idea of Jay Woodcroft as well, even though again, he might, you know, really only a year and like a half of NHL experience behind a bench. So I don't know if that's the veteran kind of definition that Adams is going with there, but he would be a really curious one, I do think. Because again, that's another guy kind of like Lindy, sunk by his goaltending. You know, if Jack Campbell and Stuart Skinner were at all close to an NHL average goaltender in the first month of the season, I think Jay Woodcroft's probably still Edmonton's coach.
So, Chris, I want to kind of go back to Granato here and keying in on what went wrong here. And I thought something that was interesting about this season in particular and the difference between this season and last year was their remarkable inability to go on any kind of streak, losing or winning. They never really dug themselves a big hole, but they also never really helped themselves after a big win or a big two wins, which didn't really even come until after late December. So what do we make of the inconsistency that was happening all year and that they really couldn't get the messaging across to get anything going?
A lot of it's got to start with just how they started games. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, they allowed the most first period goals in the entire league. I believe it was 93 or 94. They allowed two or more goals in the first period 29 times, if I'm not mistaken. And that many bad starts is just going to let you down. I mean, they weren't especially good at chasing games in any particular instance, whether they were behind in the first, second, or third. I think, you know, the fact that they rarely got to overtime speaks to that. And I think that maybe is a larger symptom of their issues under Granato. their inability to tie games, to get that loser point. I mean, they had, I think I saw someone tweeted today, they had three fewer regulation wins than the Leafs or something like that. Like, it's wild. So, but again, I just to go back to it, I would say so much of it starts with how they started games. And it, plenty of that is on the coaching staff. I think the players need to own a lot of that too. They certainly put that attitude out there in their exit interviews, but hey, these are professional athletes. Sometimes I'm shocked that they need that much of a kick in the butt to get ready for a 7 o'clock puck drop or whatever it is. But I just can't help but wonder if they were a little more detailed in their first periods. I mean, how many more standings points is that worth to them? Because instead of being down 2-3-1 in six games, it's 1-1 or 1-0. And it's, you're talking about a totally different attitude on this, on the bench.
Yeah. Now looking forward though, with this team, of course, the slow starts, one of the big reasons why Granato had to get out of there, the power play being one of them as well. When it comes to this team, though, looking forward, obviously, there's still a young core. Kevin Adams is going to have to take the lesson that he learned of a little less than aggressive last offseason and try to add a bigger piece here. He did make mention several times of looking to add another piece for the top six after trading Casey Mittelstadt. But to look at it from here, though, it isn't as dire, I would still say, even after the disappointing season, than it has been in years past, and there still is a relatively bright future here for Buffalo.
For sure, yeah. I think J.J. Paterka's coming out party was terrific to follow. If they can keep Jack Quinn healthy, I think the impact that he has specifically on Dylan Cousins is incredibly valuable to them. And just his skill set alone, I mean, he's just such a strong player. But you look at those two players and how they fit into their top six, I think it can really say a lot about how they can shape their roster. I would be really interested, to your point, honestly, is do they take that big swing? Do they go and try to find a top six, probably a top six winger, right? But if they get someone in the, in the vein of, you mentioned Arizona, the top, like Clayton Keller, not to say that he's available, but they went and got a guy of that ilk. I mean, how that pushes players down their lineup, how that changes their profile would be really, really fascinating. And they have the assets to do it. And boy, but that would make for a really, really fun summer, no question. Whether or not that's the direction that they're interested in going, a lot of what Adams has said, of course, has been, reinforcing the bottom of the roster. But, it's just so hard to say, like, do they need another – true top six piece, I think is a point of debate, because you can ask, like, is Alex Tuch truly a top line winger, or is he better in that second, third line role? Same goes for Jeff Skinner at this point in his career. So there are some debates to be had, I think, about some other personnel that could be answered with a really big trade.
Absolutely. And this will be an important offseason for the Sabres here, as obviously not only just to get a head coach, but when it comes to adding more pieces here into the future. Chris, I appreciate your time here to join us. Give the friendly listeners here a nice little plug where to find you and how to hear from you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the blog is twointhebox.com. We've been doing it for way too long now. too many playoff-less seasons, that's for sure. You can find me on Twitter or X at 2ITB_Buffalo, and then the podcast is the Instigator podcast, and recently even started a little of a Sabres history bent to that, which is called Warpath. You can find that also under the Instigator podcast. Appreciate you guys having me on, though. This is great.
Very nice, and appreciate it, Chris. Appreciate your time here. Have a good weekend.
No question. Thanks, guys.
That's Chris Ostrander, Two in the Box, Instigator podcast, and a longtime valued member, I'd say, of the Sabres Twitter community there.
One of the original instigators.
Yes, exactly.
The original Instigator podcast, of course. not to say anything about previous program shows.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Anything like that.
You know what you did?
That's more negative than
a
Jerry Sullivan piece.
I feel like I'm allowed to say a little bit of this.
Oh, I'll say it.
Oh,
yeah. It's more negative than a Jerry Sullivan piece. All right. Anyway, we gotta go. And we'll wrap things up here in a pretty little bow in this next segment coming up here on WGR. Man, you wanted to make me feel old for this last segment? What's up? You got to square up? What's going on?
I'm proud of him, honestly.
Got some of that Hooba stank.
I'm proud of
him. End this show. All right. I'm with TJ, but at the same time, I feel attacked.
I really like this song a lot. That's why I recorded it and
added it to the archives.
My few bumps
in the e-bumps.
Yeah, there's going to be e-bumps now. There we go. But it's kind of funny. You reminisce on some things, and then the next thing you know, Hoobastank comes back here from the break. So reminiscing because our buddy Kyle Powell has stopped in at random here, and I might just pass the mic over to him for the last moment or so here, just because I like chaos. That's what I do. Chaos is a ladder.
Unfortunately, what chaos is already taken, we can't call
we can't
that
use
anything.
That. And that's a good show, by the way.
Thanks, Pete Blackburn.
DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn. It's actually a pretty good show.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm a huge Pete Blackburn and DJ Bean guy.
Yeah.
The Boston guys that they are, but.
But they do a good job.
Yes.
Anyway, one little tidbit here, though. Game night, the Bandits have a chance with a win to get a home playoff game. Face off at 10 p.m. You'll be able to hear that on our sister station, the Bet 1520. So the Bandits trying to get themselves a home playoff game here so that at least the fans could see them one more time. They're on the road today against Las Vegas.
Trying to repeat.
They're in. It's now just a matter of do they get a home game or not. That's going to be the question.
I need to be so much better about being up on lacrosse because it's so fun to watch, and I do love it when I go. And now it's easier than ever to watch it since it's all on ESPN Plus, and I think that's huge for them.
Josh Byrne, once again, leading the league in points.
Yeah, he's probably going to be the league MVP, I think I've read. I've done a good job of like following like baseline lacrosse people who aren't Bandits people, which I think is like usually my first entranceway into the gateway of a new sport that I'm trying to get into. Mm-hmm. So, and it helps that Buffalo has a team too. So
not only a team, but typically a offensive powerhouse team.
Oh yeah, for many years running.
Yeah, Byrne top in the league in points. Dane Smith is 1 point off a second. So, you know,
probably leads in assists.
Those two are once again ho hum doing their thing, and he absolutely does by a wide margin. It's 91. You know who's in second? Josh Byrne, 76. 76 is the second place on the assist chart there.
Lacrosse scoring is so bizarre to me. It's like the output is the same as an 82 game hockey season a lot of times. In 16 games.
Yes, but it's also just absolutely wild. So real quick, though, I did want to hit up the tweet sheet one last time here because of the fact that we got a caller asking about, like, you know, grittier guys, like bottom six fit sort of thing. Edward had tweeted in, I'd love to see them bring in Will Carrier. He is a UFA this year, and he could play the heavy part for this team. That would be absolutely a good one there. I wanted to give a shout out to that sort of tweet because That's a good option.
Old friend Will Carrier.
Good
good fourth line piece. Probably brings a little bit more offense than Azemgus Girgensons will. So he'd be a pretty good fit for that.
All right. Well, with that, for our guests today, Greg Thompson of Cover One, Rachel Hotmeyer, Spectrum News, and Chris Ostrander with Two in the Box and the Instigator Podcast. For Evan on the board working diligently, for Kyle Powell randomly popping in for the last like 3 or 4 minutes here, not saying anything, but he's just now looking around like an owl. Just what?
Big board.
Me? Yeah, he's staring at the wide receiver big board. For TJ Luckman, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been Sports Talk Saturday. Special edition day 3 version of Sports Talk Saturday coming for you next week. Draft coverage on Thursday. We've got me, Nate Geary, Zach Jones. You'll be hearing from all three of us all weekend long as the Buffalo Bills get through the NFL draft starting on Thursday night. Our coverage will start at 7 o'clock right here on the radio home of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
See ya.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.